May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart always be acceptable to you, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So everybody has dutifully put away their bulletins, I see, or at least some have. So I'm going to ask you to take your bulletin out and look at the picture on the cover. This is a picture I took 3 years ago when Kathy and I visited the Holy Land. The site is named in English Bethany Beyond the Jordan. This is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, the accepted specific location of John's baptism of Jesus. It is located a few kilometers south of Jericho in Jordan. It is closed to the public, and we are one of the very few granted access. The building on the hill is a modern covering the remain is modern covering the remains of five churches built over the ages that have been destroyed by earthquake and fire. The modern structure in the foreground covers the baptistry. You will notice that there is no river in this picture. Sometime over the past 2,000 years, the course of the Jordan River has changed, and its current about a kilometer to the west. The water seen in the bottom of the steps comes from an underground stream. Standing on the edge of the crystal clear water, one sees it bubbling to the surface. Unlike the Jordan River, polluted, brown, and filled with discarded rubbish. Today, I'm going to briefly explore the life and the legacy of John the Baptizer, who prepared the way of the Lord and made his path straight. I believe that many of you envision John as a somewhat deranged and disheveled individual. By our standards, he exhibited peculiar choices in clothing and food. Yet there was meaning in his choices. His camel hair clothing was cheap and worn by the poor and hermits. His belt signified preparation and readiness. I know the labels of those of us who don't eat meat, gluten, or lactose, but what is this about a diet consisting of locusts and wild honey? The diet has meaning. Being associated with hermits, the poor, importantly, it was kosher. Locusts and wild honey were gifts of nature provided by our Creator. This is a reminder of the manna that one could rely upon God to provide, as God had provided to the Israelites in the desert. Let's look a bit closer. John was born of Elizabeth, Jesus' mother's relative, who lived a day's travel from Nazareth. The Gospel of Luke describes the miracle of John's conception. It further relates that Mary and Elizabeth visited each other during their concurrent pregnancies, and that John jumped in utero at Jesus' presence in Mary. John's father, Zechariah, was a priest whose lineage traced back to Aaron. Zechariah offered sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem for people seeking forgiveness and expressing gratitude for good fortune. At the time, the temple was the only place where a Jew could seek forgiveness of sins. The process was controlled by a few who financially benefited and collaborated with the Roman overlords. Only those of means and proximity could seek forgiveness and atonement in the approved way. John was a rebel from relatively affluent circumstances. He was smart and well-educated in the Torah. He was a skilled public speaker and teacher. He chose to live with the poor, wearing their clothing and eating their food. From within their midst, he heard their pain and recognized the great disparities of society. John rebelled against the temple system. He called for all to have equal access to forgiveness and salvation. he did not speak against his father's religion, nor his traditions. Rather, he was calling people to live righteously, more seriously and devoutly as Jews. His prophetic voice was anchored in the words and lives of the earlier prophets. For example, the prophet Samuel offered sacrifices in a variety of places. John found no scriptural claim that the temple was the only place to obtain forgiveness. One could say that the temple had become an idol. One religious scholar put it this way: John looked back to the tabernacle that could provide access to the divine presence throughout the land, and forward to Ezekiel's vision of a new temple that would gush forth healing waters. No wonder the Pharisees and Sadducees showed up to monitor and challenge him. No surprise at the rhetorically violent response of John. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance." Let me repeat that. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourself, "We have Abraham as our ancestor." For as I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. To John, the systems maintained by the religious leaders were at the root of the issue. That expectation that their status as religious leaders and descendants of Abraham justified their actions and would save them was wrong. What mattered was a commitment to repentance or realignment and inward transformation, symbolized by John's baptism. To those leaders, John's words and actions were a threat to their world. John's view of baptism to bring about atonement and commit to a new way of living was novel at the time. There were others who practiced baptism in the Jordan Valley. The community of the Essenes was located only a few kilometers from Bethany on the Jordan. They practiced baptism, the immersion into water to be washed on a regular basis for purification. But they remained faithful to the temple. They prayed for the day they could once again practice animal sacrifice there. John viewed the meaning and the power of baptism somewhat differently. John's call was for repentance, the inward change leading to outward expressions. His was a call to preparation. It was a self-reckoning, a moment of honesty. Baptism was a statement of hope and a commitment to change. It reflected a desire for a fresh start in one's relationship with one's Creator. John was preaching that genuine repentance is how we should respond and prepare for the coming kingdom of God. John was an organizer and social activist. His work was carried out in the Jordan Valley and elsewhere. The Jordan Valley runs north to south to the east of Jerusalem. It's a geologic rift valley, providing a long, relatively easy passageway with easy access to water. Banditry, however, was a problem. Traveling to Jerusalem were a steady stream of pilgrims and merchants. John and his followers were there to greet them and spend time with them as they rested. No doubt they were tired and stressed, banding together for protection. They were encouraged and supported by Rabbi John and his followers along the way. The fact that he was so successful speaks to his empathy and relatedness. Again, John preached about the injustices of society, religious institutions, and income disparity. He spoke truth to power on moral issues of the day, such as Herod Antipas's marriage to his brother's wife, Herodias, an adulterous relationship under Jewish law. The power of his words and their resonance within the population resulted in John's arrest. John's popularity prevented Herod from executing him immediately. Herodias, through the actions of her daughter, Salome, was able to extract her revenge with the beheading of John. John was a rabbi, a teacher, who gathered a significant number of disciples. A review of the concepts, phrases, and theology of John found in the New Testament and Apocrypha with those of Jesus reveals a deep synergy. John was clearly a voice crying out in the wilderness. He was living in the margins with the people in the margin. He was living simply, relying upon God's gifts for sustenance. He was in communion with nature. The story of John is a reminder of the wanderings in our Christian life and God's promise to point the way ahead. John prepared the way of the Lord. Many of John's followers ultimately followed Jesus. The teachings of John prepared them for the gospel of Jesus. Have you ever wondered how Jesus could approach fishermen, inviting them to be fishermen and fishers of men? And they were immediately abandoning their nets and livelihood to do so? Might they have already heard the message through John? Might they have known Jesus as a companion of John? Jesus' ministry is thought to have lasted 3 years or so. That is a short period of time. John must have done a ground-changing amount of preparation to make the paths straight. We Christians consider John the Baptizer to be a saint. In his day, it was reported that many thought that John was the Messiah. Even today are there those who profess that John is the Messiah. I'm guessing that many of you have not heard of the Abrahamic faith group called the Mandans. Prior to the U.S. invasion of Iraq, there were about 60,000 living in southern Iraq and Iran. Most have either been displaced or killed since that time. This group, with its own sacred literature, considers John the Baptizer to be the final prophet, the Messiah. John the Baptizer is a fascinating character in history of the world and our faith. He is considered to be the bridge between the Old and New Testament. We don't spend enough time and effort trying to understand what that means. He was a true hero who modeled courage, empathy, self-awareness, love, and honesty. His words and actions point to the future of God's kingdom. Advent is a time of preparation and a time of hope. It is a time to refocus and anticipate once again the gift of the arrival of Jesus. Jesus the incarnate, the person of God with us, Emmanuel. I am particularly thankful for this week's readings, inviting us to once again remember the promise of Isaiah, of the root of Jesse who will change the world and lead us to a new way of being. It is a reminder of the many prophets' promise of the presence of our midst, of our Creator and our deliverance. I'm thankful for Paul's reminder to look for hope in the truth found in our scriptures. This truth, wisdom, and hope being available to all of us. I am thankful for the life of John the Baptizer and his modeling, fulfilling the responsibility to prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Amen.